Processional hymn 189. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. It is also the beginning of the annual week of prayer for Christian unity. We follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have called us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, to continue his work of reconciliation and reveal you to the world. Forgive us the sins which tear us apart. Give us the courage to overcome our fears and to seek that unity which is your gift and your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn number 303, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing.
Christ to live and love and
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I would like to begin by asking you two rhetorical questions. The first of which is, why are you here? There may be more than one answer. You're committed to the idea and practice of church unity would probably be one. Another one might be that you normally come to this type of thing as you like to support it. And another answer might be that you are doing what you normally do on a Sunday by coming to church, irrespective of whether it is a day of special observance or not. The second question is just to ask you to reflect for a moment on your own inter-church experience or history. By that I mean, which churches have you been part of in your life? Have you always belonged to the one denomination, or have you spent different times in different churches other than your current tradition? One of my memories of my 3 years in theological college was during the introductory week of my first year, when the 16 or so gathered Anglican ordinands were each given the opportunity of, shall we say, opening up about their church background. What was striking was that several of the 16 did not have an exclusively Anglican background. They had each spent at least some time worshipping as part of another Christian denomination. The background of one of those, is a reasonable example of this. He was baptized Free Church of England, which is a group which separated from the Church of England about 160 years ago. His parents didn't know he was baptized Free Church of England until they needed to get his baptismal certificate for his pre-theological college paperwork. It had just been the church that one of their close friends went to, and so they went there. In his youth, until about the age of 10, he went to a United Reformed Church.
in England that would correspond generally with the Presbyterian Church. Initially only attending parade services, but then as a regular member. At the age of 11, he went to a public school with links to the Church of England, so became a very traditional Anglican. Confirmed as such at 13, singing in the chapel choir, before leaving school and going on to university, he also worshipped in the mornings at a different local United Reformed Church, where he became the organist, as well as a backup organist for a local Methodist church. At university, he became very heavily involved in the Christian Union, which was a non-denominational, unequivocally evangelical group, and was involved at that time in both Anglican and Baptist churches. And then, when he finally came home from university, he settled by choice into the local Anglican church, feeling that his roots and his preferences lay in the Church of England and later the Church of Ireland. And obviously, there he has stayed. Throughout my entire life, I myself have been rooted in the Church of Ireland. And the point of my telling the story of one of my other Anglican colleagues is not that he is somehow unusual, but that stories like his are becoming increasingly common. More and more, people do not belong to one Christian grouping or denomination for their entire lives. Other people will change, sometimes out of geographical necessity, sometimes because of personal difficulty or individual preference. As we worship together in this week of prayer for Christian unity, we do so in a world where the distinctions between traditions and denominations are becoming increasingly blurred. Some people are happy for this blurring to continue. Some people are more keen on defending the distinctiveness of their tradition. And probably both groups are both right and wrong in different ways. The words of the Gospel according to St. Matthew that form the centerpiece of this year's week of prayer are both challenging and difficult. They challenge us right at the root of what is going on in our own church and what is going on in our relationships with other churches. It is the word relationship that is key here. This passage is all about relationship. Sinning against one another and the process of discipline that follows is about the maintenance of relationship. Not in a way that involves turning a blind eye to events, but rather acknowledging pain and hurt. The way forward in a relationship is to acknowledge and process what has happened within that relationship. Relationship is about recognizing and acknowledging the presence of God in ourselves and in those around us. To say that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there among us, is to recognize God's presence. This statement of Jesus is much less about what shopping list we can put together before God when we meet than about what God has already done through us and is continuing to do through us when we gather. We gather here today because of God. In each of us, God has done a work to get us here, and God will continue to do that work today and onwards. To recognize the presence of God in each of us, to recognize God working in each of us, is to recognize that none of us is perfect, to recognize that we don't expect perfection from one another, and that we don't expect others to be the same as ourselves. We are here to pray for Christian unity, not Christian uniformity. There is much difference between us before we think about our different church cultures. We are made up of so many different histories, so many different personalities, so many different stages of life and of faith. And yet Christ longs for us to be together, to share what we have with each other. Peter says to Jesus, "How many times must I forgive a member of the church who sins against me? As many as 7 times? Jesus' answer reminds us that it is not about the number, but about the attitude and about relationship. Not 7 times, but 77, as much as is necessary. To continue to show grace to those to whom grace should be shown. And anyway, showing forgiveness is so often more about our ability to grow and show grace than it is about the sin that has been committed against us. So much is about doing to others what we should have done to us. All this means we have to see sinners and backsliders and any who offend against our rules and sensibilities as Jesus sees them. We need to know more clearly the mind of Christ. Relationship and its relationship to Christian unity and our purpose here this morning is about recognizing the presence of God in those around us, about recognizing that God is at work, that although others may do things differently, that it is still the same God working. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, God is with them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, today marks the beginning of the week of prayer for Christian unity. Help us to embody one body and one spirit, bridging divisions and sharing hope across all peoples and cultures. As the world experiences despair, we pray for church leaders everywhere, that they will work together and try to promote a greater understanding among all Christians. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we pray for Christians throughout the world, and particularly for those who are persecuted because of their faith in you. We ask for your protection for them and strength and guidance for all individuals and organizations that seek to help them. Strengthen your church that we may be united in prayer and in practical help and support for one another. We pray for courage, wisdom, and guidance to stand up for our faith when it is challenged. We ask for your guidance on the part that we can play as we seek to do your will and serve people in need in this group of parishes. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, we pray for people of every race and in every type of need. Make your ways known on earth, your saving power among all nations. We pray for all nations and organizations that are striving to find peaceful solutions to the wars and conflicts that are taking place in many parts of the world. And in a moment of silence, we pray for those countries which are on our mind today. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we pray for everyone whose lives are affected by hunger, either far away or in our local community. We give thanks for the generosity of people who give to charities and food banks that seek to help all who struggle in this way. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we pray for all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. May their pain be eased through your healing grace and give them the strength to endure their problems. Comfort them with your presence and help them to hold on to the knowledge that your Son, Jesus Christ, understands the pain of human suffering. And in a moment of silence, we pray for anybody we know who needs God's healing power today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, we pray for all whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close to them, either recently or at this time of year. However, we know that your love reaches beyond the grave. At the end of our days on earth, be with us and the people we love, and may those who have gone before us rest in your eternal peace. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, we pray for ourselves as we go from this church today to start the week ahead. We ask that in all we do, we will walk more closely with you at our side, safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care has no limits. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. This your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 451. We come as guests invited.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We follow the Second Communion prayer on page 212, and at the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We turn to page 214. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. When the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We celebrate his redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God of glory, you nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Tomorrow night's meeting of the Mothers' Union has been deferred, and Beth and Esme will be in touch with members with details for the February meeting in due course. On Wednesday at 11 a.m., the Wednesday Club meets in the Parochial Hall, and there will be a speaker from Age Northern Ireland. All are welcome. Also on Wednesday at 8 o'clock, the Bowling Club meets in the Parochial Hall. Sunday next is the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul. It is also World Leprosy Day. Morning prayer at 10 o'clock, and the loose collection next Sunday and on the following Sunday will be in favour of the leprosy mission. The recessional hymn 529, omitting verse 3, "Thy hand, O God, hast guided." Full clear on every page. in peace to love and serve the Lord.